day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name, to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And glory be to his name that he's coming back soon. And the question is, are you ready? Are you watching? Are you keeping your salvation garments that when he comes, that we may not be ashamed at his appearing? Tonight we're going to be speaking about the topic, the watchman. What is a watchman according to the Bible? And what are the requirements and what does that position entail? We're going to be looking at the scriptures today and we're going to be seeing what the Bible calls leaders to do. And it's going to be a very fruitful study. So we invite you to open up your Bibles and to follow along with us. And also remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you can also listen to the live stream. As a reminder, we have our Bible studies live as well on Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We're going through the book of Philippians, and it's a wonderful, small little book, but yet it's filled with so many wonderful treasures that will bless your life. You can also write to us at our email, redemptionandpower@gmail.com. You could also find us on Facebook as well as on iTunes, where you can download all of our podcasts directly to your computer, your iPhone, iPad, any digital device. And Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, we thank you again, Lord, for allowing us to be here. Father, we pray for your people today, especially those who are leaders, Father, to understand how important it is to serve you correctly, Lord. And also, Father, to be able to stand in the truth, no matter what comes our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Establishes until the next year.
When I was a young boy, I remember my dad taking me to catch land crabs in an area called Homestead. These crustaceans filled the roads when it rained, and we filled bags full of these critters. It was also a beautiful sight because we were able to see eagles in their nest on the electrical poles and flying around the sky. But there was something that did not look right on the poles. There were large speakers placed on top of them. At first, I thought they were probably used to attract the eagles, but every time we went, they were silent. One day, I asked my dad why they were there. He said there was a nuclear electrical plant nearby, and if a radiation fallout were to happen, the horns would sound to warn the people of danger. In the same way, God has called some people to warn the nation against the judgment coming to our land. Ezekiel 33:1-3. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, when I bring the sword against a land, and the people of the land choose one of their men and make him their watchman, and he sees a sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people. At times, I think of the great responsibility of being a watchman. Can you imagine standing on the walls of Jerusalem, watching to see if the enemy approach? The lives of your family, friends, and others are in your hands. This is why I don't understand when some of the people who say they are called to ministry can twist and omit the words of God. The word of God is a very serious matter. There is a coming danger. There have been people who have said to me, brother, if you want many people to follow you, all you have to do is tell them what they want to hear. Talk about the paranormal. Tell them they are going to be rich, never get sick, and everything is always going to be great. However, what many of these guys don't understand is that there is a personal judgment that will come to the people that hear the words of God but do not listen and only choose to hear what their itching ears want to hear. Ezekiel 33:4-5. Then, if anyone hears the trumpet, but does not heed the warning, and the sword comes and takes their life, their blood will be on their own head, since they heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not heed the warning. Their blood will be on their own head. If they had heeded the warnings, they would have saved themselves. Also, there is a far greater consequence to those that have been entrusted to teach the word of God and warn the people. If the watchman fails to complete his duties, their blood would be on his hands. Ezekiel 33:6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes someone's life, that person's life will be taken because of their sins. But I will hold the watchmen accountable for their blood. Friends, we are living in the last days. How many? I don't know. Only God knows. But as pastors and leaders, we are called to speak the truth, whether people like it or not. This is not because we are mean, but because we care for and love others, as the Lord instructed us to do. If you had a son and he was about to fall into a pit, would you not do anything you could to warn him? In the same way, God is our Father. and we are his sons and daughters. Therefore, he has sent his warnings beforehand. He did this not only through his life and sacrifice of his only son, Jesus, but through the many disciples he has sent after and is still sending today. He does not want any of us to die. Ezekiel 33:11. Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways.
The role of the watchman is a very important defensive role. A watchman stands upon a tower or the wall of a city to warn of impending danger that is approaching, to give the inhabitants an opportunity to prepare. In the scriptures, we see that it is a role often used to describe prophets, individuals who were responsible of guiding the nation in both spiritual and political affairs, more specifically spiritual affairs, especially since many of the political problems that we see in the scriptures that plagued Israel arose from Israel's poor spiritual condition. When we look at the role of a watchman in ancient times, we see that in agricultural societies, they would erect watchtowers overlooking the fields where the crops were planted. When the crops were close to harvesting, guards would be set on the watch to overlook the city's food supply to make sure that thieves or wild animals didn't make off with the goods. The Bible tells us about what the thief comes to do. In John 10:10, the scripture says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly, says our Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy wants to steal what we have, kill us, and destroy the work of God in us. And that's why Christ has set forth watchmen to keep guard and to warn the people of God. One of the first things we notice about a watchman is that it is required for him to have a specific perspective. He had to be high on a wall, high in a guard tower, where he can see at a distance. And I believe this is true for a watchman today. A watchman must be living a life of holiness. He must live at a higher standard that grants him the ability to have foresight of the danger that lies ahead. And often we see that this is a position that requires to be alone for long periods of times. Such is the life of a watchman who often finds himself alone. Brother Lewis had read Ezekiel 33:1-3, which tells us what is the job of a watchman. We see that the Lord tells us that one of the roles of the watchman is to warn when God is bringing the sword, in other words, his judgment. And he does so by blowing the trumpet. And that's very important because the scripture gives specific instruction what Israel was to do when they heard the trumpet, and when those that sounded the trumpet, when was the specific times that they were supposed to sound them? The scripture tells us in Numbers 10:1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee 2 trumpets of silver, of a whole piece thou shalt make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. We see that the trumpet is a very important instrument in ancient times. And the first thing we learn about the trumpet that God had given the instructions to Israel is that they were supposed to make it out of silver. And that is important because silver in the scripture is a symbol of blood. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. In Leviticus 5:15, the Lord mentions the silver shekel of the sanctuary, which was to be offered by the person that had committed a trespass. Not only is it a symbolism of blood, but specifically the blood of Jesus. Therefore, the watchman that blows a trumpet must do so within the context of the gospel. And this is especially true because as of late, many men have risen calling themselves watchmen, but in reality are only using the guise of a watchman to profit from the people of God. Men who claim to be leading others to repentance through the preaching of current events, yet when you take a closer look, many of these men are using scare tactics in order for people to buy their books and merchandise. That's why we are called to examine a person's fruit and doctrine. We need to question whether they are preaching Christ, whether they are furthering the gospel, or they're furthering their business. The Lord also tells us that the purpose of the trumpet was for calling of the assembly, or calling together of an assembly to congregate, which is in fact what the word church means, the word ecclesia. Where we get the word church, where the Spanish word is iglesia, it means congregation. So one of the purposes of blowing the trumpet was to gather the saints. And the job of a watchman in blowing the trumpet is to bring unity into the body of Christ. Therefore, whenever a watchman is dealing with the people of God, he must do so with love. You have men today that call themselves watchmen, and you listen to them, and it sounds like they enjoy preaching the message of judgment. They want God's judgment to fall. And the truth is that God is never pleased in bringing judgment. He desires men to come to repentance. In Amos 5:18, he says, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. And what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him." It is one thing to preach oncoming judgment, and it is another to enjoy it. We read about the prophet Jeremiah. Out of all the prophets in the Old Testament, was the one with the most difficult task, to tell his people that if they didn't turn from their ways, they would be destroyed. Not only did he witness the hardness of their hearts, but he also saw the complete destruction of his nation happen before his eyes. And it was tragic. When God's judgment falls, it's going to be a very, very tragic day indeed. So broken was Jeremiah that he records his grief in the book of Lamentations. That's why he's called the weeping prophet. Do you, man of God, that call yourself a watchman, do you weep for the sins of your nation? Do you weep for the sins of the church? Do you weep for the sin in your life? What some of these men that enjoy preaching judgment forget is that judgment first begins at the house of God. It begins with you and me, because though the world grows more and more wicked, yet we are with no excuse if we say that we know Jesus. Worse is the sin of a Christian in the eyes of God than the sins of an unbeliever, because when we sin knowing the truth. We sin against knowledge, we sin against light. There's no reason for a Christian to be willingly living in sin. See, the next reason why the trumpet was to be blown in Numbers 10:2 was for the journeying of the camps. The watchman is to blow the trumpet so that Israel can organize themselves, so they can get into their designated position. And if you continue to read, God instructs them on the different alarms that the watchman was to do. And he says in Numbers 10:8, "And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be for you an ordinance forever throughout your generations." God designated the priests to sound the trumpets. See, God chooses the watchmen. And we see that it is the spiritual leaders whom God designates to warn of impending danger. And one of the interesting things about the trumpets is that it is one of the few metaphors in the scriptures that describe God's voice. In Revelations 1:10, we see that John, the apostle John, says, "I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." In fact, look at what God says to Ezekiel. He says in Ezekiel 33:7, he says, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." We see the connection between the trumpet that sounds like the voice of God in Revelations 1:10, or that the voice of God sounds like a trumpet. And in Ezekiel 33:7, God tells Ezekiel that he is to show forth the words, warn with the words that he receives from God. Because the job of a watchman is to preach the word of God, not the things which are culturally acceptable. Look at what 1 Corinthians 14:8 says. "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound," that means if it doesn't sound what it's supposed to sound like, if it's not played the way it's supposed to be played, "who shall prepare himself for battle?" We have men today who preach dreams and visions rather than the word of God. And the Lord says in Jeremiah 23:25, "And I have heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed." We live in a day and age of gifted communicators, men that know how to speak eloquently. We have the Bible available in every form of media. Yet never has there been a time where Christians have become so biblically illiterate. And the truth is, we have no excuse. And it's because we have men that rather share their dreams and visions than preach the word of God. They make the word seem as if it's antiquated, as if the word of God is not for today. But Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. He says that the man of God may be complete. He's speaking about here that the man of God has the scriptures in which to do the work in which he's been assigned. And that means that the word of God, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, of course, is what we need, is a sword of the Spirit. It is the word of God what pierces the heart. It is the word of God that divides the soul and the spirit. Because of the lack of Bible, we got churches filled with baby Christians or churches filled with unconverted, unregenerate men who are deceived. We see that Paul exhorts Timothy to preach the word. That is Paul's exhortation to this pastor whom he was preparing. Preach the word. Because it's very easy to get caught up in sensationalism. People don't want the hard truth. People want to be entertained. And the problem is that ministers, instead of preaching the word, they are using surveys to find out what people want. In fact, the famous preacher, Charles Spurgeon, he said something that's very interesting that we can see today. He says, a time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. That is exactly what is going on. And we see the same attitude in Israel towards watchmen. Look at what Israel says in Isaiah 30, verse 9. He says, this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. And the problem is that we listen, and we fear more the people than we fear God. We have pastors that fear more losing their jobs than they do fearing to mishandle the word of God. And it comes down to this, who do we fear more? Well, some might say, well, the Bible says that fear means to reverence. And that is true, we are to reverence God. But we see that Jesus says in Matthew 10:28, and says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus here is not just speaking about reverence, but he's speaking about a holy terror. God is to be feared as well as reverenced. The Bible teaches us that those who fail to speak the truth will have blood on their hands. Will have blood of those around them whom they did not speak to. And God, or they would have to give account to the Lord on that day. Isaiah 56:10 says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. Can you imagine a watchman who's supposed to be looking for impending danger, making sure warning of invading armies, and yet he's more entertained with getting drunk. But the truth is that even if the watchmen are not doing their jobs, we as Christians are called to watch individually. We see that the Lord says to the church of Sardis in Revelations 3:3, he tells them, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. And he says again in Revelation 16:15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Christ has called us to be on alert in our own lives, because there is a roaring lion, and we cannot hold somebody else responsible for our spiritual welfare. We need to be responsible to be reading our Bibles, to be praying. Nobody else has the task for our spiritual growth. Yes, God has set up leaders to feed the people, but he is not to baby them. There comes to a certain point where a Christian begins to mature and develops his own relationship with Christ. And the relationship of a Christian with Christ is an individual one. Yes, it's true that we have many leaders that are not doing their jobs, but that doesn't mean we are not to watch. And we see that those that are not watching, they will be surprised with the coming of the Lord. They're going to be out in the nightclubs. They're going to be doing what they're not supposed to be doing. And because they're not watching, they're going to be caught by surprise. But to those that are watching, to those that are looking to make sure that they're walking in righteousness, that they're keeping themselves holy for God, because the Bible shows us that the church is the bride of Christ. And we are to maintain our purity. We are not to be defiled by the things of this world. And for those that are watching, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:4, he says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Brothers and sisters, we need to be on alert in our lives. The devil is looking for an opportunity to destroy us, for us to fall away from the path, so that we may be caught by surprise, so that we may be caught without our garments of salvation. But blessed be the Lord Jesus, who strengthens us, and he gives us the power to watch. And if we are weary, if we've grown tired, we can come to him, because sometimes it gets tiring being on the wall. Sometimes you become worried when you see that you're there at a time where it's dark and you're alone and you feel you have nobody else that you can confide in. It gets tiring being on the wall. But the Lord strengthens us, and he says that he is with us and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And he brings us strength at the hour of need. He is there for us. He is faithful to the end. He is the faithful and true witness. And he will strengthen you in your hour of weariness. He will strengthen you in those moments where you feel like you're fainting. So long as you come to the fountain of living waters, don't turn to the world. Don't give up. Don't leave all that God has done for you and built up in your life. It is precious. Do not give it up for momentary pleasure. Do not give it up for anything in this world. Trust in him. Trust in Jesus Christ, who bore our sins in the cross. If he would go so far to save us, how far will he also go to keep us and to strengthen us in our hour of need?
Amen. You know, brother, one of the biggest schemes which a devil has done in the past and continues to do today is try to make us believe that everything is okay. You know, when we look at the time of Noah and the great flood, Even though Noah warned the people and told them there was a great flood coming that was going to destroy the world, they laughed at him and they mocked him. And until that great day came when the flood came and destroyed the people, until then they didn't know it was true. And this is what's happening today. We're having a lot of people saying a lot of things that are not what's in the Word of God. We have people saying the world's going to end due to the Mayan calendar. Then we find out that it wasn't so. People got afraid. Some people got ready. They thought it was going to be the end of the world. It didn't. And then we have pastors writing books about the blood moon and the end of the world and preaching about the end of the world happening in this year. And we find out it didn't happen. So now the people are kind of mixed up in their heads. They don't know who to believe. They don't know who to trust. And one of the saddest things is, who can you trust? In the world that we live, that scripture has been twisted in order to sell books like my brother or Javer just mentioned. A lot of leaders aren't in those positions because they really want to tell you the truth. But it's a way to make wealth without having to pay a price. It's very sad, brothers, when these things happen. And there's a few people that are preaching the truth. And the only way you're going to find out if you get into the scriptures. But like Pastor Javer mentioned, there is trouble coming. And it's coming sooner than you think. And that's why in 1 Peter 5:8, the Word of God tells us to be alert, be ready, and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my God and my shield, in whom I trust. For surely He will save you from the foulest snare, from the deadly pestilence as well. He will cover over you with His feathers, and there under His wings you will find peace. And His faithfulness will be your shield. The arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. A thousand may fall at your sight, 10,000 may fall at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only see, you will only observe when judgment comes. For He commands His angels concerning you, guard you that you won't strike your foot against a stone. Well, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then surely no great harm will befall you. No disaster will come there near your home. He commands his angels concerning you to guard you wherever you may go, to be with you and lift you in their hands, so that you won't strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, and trample upon the serpent's head. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, and trample upon the serpent's
So, how can we know if when someone is saying, if it's true or not? Or how do we know even to follow a person who says certain things? Well, first of all, brothers and sisters, the Bible is our instruction manual. And that is what God has given us to know the past, the present, and the future. And there is also a scripture in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 22, that talks about how do we know when a prophet or somebody says something, whether it is from God or not. And this is what it says. If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or comes true, that is a message that the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken on his own accord. So do not be alarmed. And that is something that we need to, you know, definitely be careful about.
God bless you. You're on the air.
Hello, God bless you, Brother Harry and Brother Lewis. This is Ingrid. I was calling to comment on the scriptures and also on the lessons that you're teaching today. And just to let you say that, or to agree with you in what you were saying earlier, that the ministry, I think my husband Lewis was saying it as well, that the ministry of the watchman is a very serious matter, and it's not something that should be taken lightly. But as well, it is also the responsibility, as you mentioned earlier, of the congregation and those receiving it, because we're all accountable for ultimately for the choices we make and the actions that we take when we hear or choose not to hear what the watchman tells us. And although there are a lot of false prophets right now, false teachers, unfortunately, false pastors, and many, many churches teaching, as my husband said earlier, only what itching ears want to hear to fill congregations and fill chairs and get money for their churches, they're not teaching the truth and they have swayed away from it. But there are still some of us that are still holding true to the word and trying to teach it. And that's one of the things that I love about this ministry, about Radio Redemption and Power, because we have tried to make it a point to stress to the people only what's truth, you know, in spirit and in truth, without compromise, untainted, the pure word of God, which is what people need to hear. Unfortunately, some people feel convicted, and they either choose to turn away, or some become loyal listeners because that's it opens their eyes and their ears to see what's really happening. And there is an agreement that the truth is needed in today's world because it's getting far worse and worse every day. And in our ministry as well, as maybe some of the audience may not know, we hold a Bible service, a Bible study, as you mentioned, on Wednesdays. We also have an actual service in our church home. And it's unfortunately that so many have come through that we have poured into a true living word. Again, no compromise, never asking for money, just pouring into people. And unfortunately, there's people that come through seasons and have come and left, and there's some that stay permanent, you know, praise the Lord. But the sad thing is that the majority of these people that have come through always say the same thing. The young people tell me that they're still young, that they have time to enjoy their lives, and then they'll come to the Lord later, and they walk away. Others say, well, you know, I have family members that are safe, so they'll be praying for me, and I'll be okay. And then you have others that are actually godly people that are going to church that share with me that although they know that the teachings perhaps in their churches are not correct and they're not following the true word of God, that they choose to close their ears and, or their eyes rather and not only receive what they want to hear. They'll just dismiss what they know is not correct. Well, none of these responses are correct because we all know that, as you mentioned earlier, we are all held 100% accountable for what we decide. The word is given to us, whether we choose to take it and use it to grow spiritually and to follow the Lord and lead righteous lives as best as we able to, or we choose to throw it away, go back into the world. It's our responsibility, and we will be held accountable. And I just wanted to share that, and I wanted to leave it with the one last scripture. It's in Ezekiel 18:20-23. Where it says, the soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged him. But if a wicked man turns away from all the sins he has committed and keeps all my decrees and does what is just and right, surely he will live. He will not die. None of the offenses he has committed will be remembered against him because of the righteous things he has done, and he will live. So even the scripture tells us that even now, even though some of us, you know, have made the wrong choices and perhaps we may have turned away from the word and are living in the world right now, that we still have time to turn and repent. And if we truly repent with our hearts, the Lord will forgive and he will erase everything we have done. So if there's anyone out there that's listening, I just want to implore you to read the scripture, to follow the word, to see what it truly says and not to follow false teachings and not to think that you'll have time tomorrow because you don't know how long you will have. And I just want to bless you guys again for this beautiful message because I know that it's needed and it will make an impact to others that are listening. God bless you both.
Amen. God bless you too, Ms. Ingrid. Thank you for calling tonight. And it's true. We see that in the scriptures. We see when Adam and Eve fell, Adam was one that was required to watch over his house. And the Bible says that Eve was the one that was deceived. However, deception is never an excuse. God doesn't say, well, okay, you were deceived. Well, I'm going to leave you off the hook. We're all required to be Bereans and search the scriptures to see if what we're being taught is true or if it is opposite the word of God. Because ignorance will not be an excuse on that day. And we see that just like as Ms. Ingrid has said, just like the scriptures say, God desires for men to come to repentance. He wants to forgive. He didn't send his son Jesus to die on the cross so that people can turn away. He did that so people can come to him, so he can bring men closer to him. And he wants, and he gave everything so that we can be saved. He emptied himself out, the Bible says. He made himself of no reputation so that we can be redeemed. We can be brought close to the Father. We can become children of God. And it doesn't matter what your circumstance is right now. If you turn, if you repent, if you turn to the Lord, if you cry out to Jesus, he will forgive and he will do a work in you.
Amen. Just want to add a little bit about what my wife spoke about. Following Jesus is not something easy. And we could read it in the book of Matthew, chapter 8 and forward, when it talks about when his disciples went to Jesus and spoke to him about following him. But I know I said this before, but what I don't understand is how could somebody come in contact with God and then choose to go back to the world? It just doesn't make any sense.
We thank you, everybody, for listening tonight. Remember, you can write to us at our webpage, at our email, redemptionandpower.com and redemptionandpower@gmail.com. We look forward to meeting with you on Wednesday at our webpage where we do our Bible study. So please remember to check that out. And thank you again for listening. May the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.